Even though we've looked at the prodigal son before this morning, I want to speak about God waits with open arms. And as Terry was singing that song a few moments ago, sometimes it takes a mountain, sometimes it takes a troubled sea, sometimes it takes something like that for God to get a hold of me. In our text for this morning, found in the book of Luke chapter 15, Luke is writing, Jesus is speaking, Jesus is telling one of his parables, and he said a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger? I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.' So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' And they began to celebrate." Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, as we have sung your praises this morning, as we have listened to this parable that you were proclaiming, God, I pray this morning that we would realize that when you're away from God, it's no one's fault but ourselves. I pray, oh God, that we will remember when we're away from God, we'll experience failure. God, today I'm glad to know, thirdly, that when we come back to God, there will always be forgiveness. Father, thank you for forgiveness. Thank you this morning, oh God, that we can come clean before you and stand in your righteousness and realize that this parable that you gave so many years ago is so applicable today as it was 2,000 years ago. Thank you that you stand with open arms, always ready to receive the sinner back into the fold. And this morning, God, as we come, we celebrate you, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer, the Messiah, the one who shed your blood so that we might have redemption, the one who rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave to give us life expectantly and to give us life eternally. Lord, we thank you today. We praise you for what that means in our hearts and our lives. Speak to our hearts, I pray, in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm reminded that he was a rebel kid. He was a college dropout. He was a boy that loved to party. He loved to carouse around. He loved to smoke. He loved to drink hard liquor. He loved to be a brawler out there. He was well known by the local police authorities, and he had made more than one visit down to the local jail. In fact, his father would be the greatest of preachers, not only in America, but all over the world, Billy Graham. his son would be Franklin Graham, the one who had gone astray, the one who had lived a very reckless life. Today, Franklin Graham not only has a tremendous benevolent ministry of Samaritan's Purse, but he now preaches the gospel just like his father, Billy Graham, did to thousands and thousands of people all over the world. And he would tell you today, because when he came back home, his father was waiting with open arms to receive him back. This text for this morning that we just read is one of the most loved stories that Jesus ever told about this prodigal son. This parable tells us probably as much, if not more, about God than any other single story in all the Bible. But it also teaches us as much about us as well as any story in the Bible, because it tells us that whenever we come to our senses and realize where we need to be, as Terry sang a few moments ago, sometimes it takes a mountain. Sometimes it takes a desert. Sometimes it takes a parched life to realize that when you come to your senses, the Father is always waiting with open arms extended to receive us back to Him. Point number one for this morning is this: whenever you're away from God, it's no one's fault but your own. Did you realize that this morning? It's no one's fault. Whenever you're far away from God, it's no one's fault but our very own. The story begins with the son. Evidently, he had a good home. Evidently, he had a good life. He had godly parents. He had everything that anybody could possibly want. But somehow, along the way of life, the root of ingratitude had bloomed into the fruit of a rebellious life. You see, this younger son wanted to be out on his own. He distanced himself as far as he could from his family. He took up a new lifestyle. It was a lifestyle that was unrestrained. It was a lifestyle that was inexperienced when it came to money matters. He will waste it all. A famine will come in the land. He'll wind up with no food, no work. But when he does land a job, what a job for a Jewish young man to be out there in the pig pen of life when pigs were repulsive to Jews. When I think about this boy, he was tired of sowing corn in the country. He wanted to sow his wild oats out there in the city. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So the father divided his wealth between them. Let me tell you, this son, he obviously looked at what his father had, realized that his father was a great producer of things. His father had stored back money. This young man, he didn't want to be anything but a consumer. He wanted his share of the inheritance. He wanted it now. Now, in those days, as well as in our days for the most part, you see, the inheritance did not go until at the time of the father's demise. Basically, what this young man is saying is, "I don't want anything else to do with you. I just want what will rightfully be mine, but I want it right now so that I can go out there and explore life and live life unrestrained, and I don't have to be reminded about godly things in my life." And so the father shares his inheritance, and this young man goes off. In fact, verse 13 said, "And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together. And he went on a journey into a distant country, and there he squandered his estate with loose living." Young people, there are people doing that all over the world this morning, all over America this morning. Young people, I hope you will hear what Jesus said in this story, because it's a story that applies to millions and millions of lives today. As you can tell, it didn't take this boy long. He hits the trail for wine and women and song. He joins the jet set and he begins to travel out there in the fast lane of life. He begins to let the good times roll. And let me tell you, he partied all night and he felt good about what he was doing for a while. I mean, if it felt good to him, he was going to do it. No one had asked him to leave home. No one had forced him out of the house to leave. Nobody wanted this young man to leave. Young people, he made a choice, a volition. He chose on his own that he wanted to get away from home and to get away from his father. When I think about that, I'm thinking about today. When I read about the millennial group, that how many of them are coming back home to live with their parents because they can't seem to make it out there on their own. But that tells me something in this story wonderful about God. As much as God loves us, God never forces anyone to obey Him. He will never coerce anyone to love Him or to worship Him. He will not keep you from making a mistake if you have chosen, if you have determined, if you have decided that you want to go out there and live life loosely. Let me tell you, God will give you all the rope that you want. God will allow you to make all of the decisions in life that you want to make. But I want you to know, God will use something out there. God will use something to turn you around. If you want to blow your wealth, if you want to blow your health, if you want to fill your belly with alcohol and shoot drugs up in your veins and ruin your body with sexual diseases that are running rampant, by the way, in America, as I've read just the other day. Let me tell you, if you want to do that, God will give you enough rope and let you go ahead and do it. God will lower the bar, but I want you to know God will flash the lights. He will sound the alarm. Many of us heard the tornado alarms last night. Let me tell you, God has sent the alarm. He sent the alarm through His Word. God is flashing the lights. And if you want to get away from God, let me tell you, He'll let you get out there on the fringes of life. And you can do whatever you want to do. God will give you the choice to do that. But I want you to know, if you're apart from God this morning, God's not the one that moved. If anyone's moved this morning, it's you or I. In the book of James, chapter 4, James says, draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. Let me tell you, if you want to be close to God, James says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Let me tell you, this young man, what he wanted to do, he wanted to get out on his own. He wanted to experience life. He wanted to get all of the gusto he could. It did not matter what he did or how his reputation and character and integrity would be. He would lose it all in order to do what he wanted to do. Secondly, this morning, while you're away from God, you can bank that you will have failure. You see, for a while, for a season, this young man had a blast. Everything that he ever wanted, everything that he wanted to buy, he was like a rich kid in a cheap candy shop. He had it all made in the shade, probably a beach condo down that overlooked the waters. Probably drove the best of whatever vehicle he could drive, have all the fashion clothes that he wanted. He could have a different woman every night. You see, he thought he was living the high life and he was doing it 24/7. But let me tell you, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season. But let me tell you, young people, payday comes around. What this young man didn't realize was that the pleasures of sin will always turn into the poison of sorrow in your life. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in verse 25, it speaks about the passing pleasures of sin. The world will say it pays to serve the devil, but the devil always pays, young people, in counterfeit money. There are plenty of kicks in sin, but the kicks always have a kickback. Verse 13 says he squandered. That means he wasted his estate. Can you only imagine all that his father had worked for, earned, all of his hard work? This young man blew his father's hard-earned money. This young man not only blew his father's money, but this young man blew his own character. He blew his own reputation. He blew his own integrity. He blew his influence. He even blew his health. And he blew some of the most precious relationships that he had. This young man knew a lot about prices, but he didn't really know anything whatsoever about value. He wanted all the things that money could buy without realizing that the things that money can buy are worthless without the things money cannot buy. I mean, what good is $1 million home? House, if you don't have a home. What good are expensive clothes if your body is ravaged with a terminal disease? What good is a diamond ring if the one that once loved you no longer loves you? You see, this young man wanted to live on the hog, but he wound up living in the hog pen of life. Listen to verses 14 through 16. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country and sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. You see, young people, in these verses, his money's gone, his food's gone, the fun is gone. Let me tell you, he looked around and his friends were gone. Talk about failure. The most dishonorable person that a Jew could do would be to go out and to work in the pig pen of life, to work there for a Gentile there among pigs that were considered unclean. Where are his so-called friends now, young people? He looked around. Where are my friends? They were with me as long as I had the money. They were with me as long as we were out partying and I was taking care of the tab with my father's hard-earned money. Where are they now? Where are all of these friends? I read about a prodigal son that left home. He hadn't been long gone when he texted his father this text: "Dear Dad, here I am, I'm in a big city, I'm flat broke, I'm miles away from you and Mom. What should I do?" The father thought for a minute. He texted his son back and said, "Make you some new friends." Folks, that's the way life goes, isn't it? As long as the party's going and there's plenty of things to do and you're getting all of your kicks and you've got all of these friends around you. But let me tell you, when the money's gone, let me tell you, the friends are gone. This young man had to learn a hard lesson, and he had to learn it the hard way. I want you to know, thirdly, this morning, when you come back to God, you find forgiveness. Verse 17 makes a very interesting observation. But when he came to his senses, how many people out there this morning are wandering around lame in the darkness of the fast lane of life, and they suddenly hit rock bottom? That desert Terry sang about, that mountain he sang about a few moments ago, whatever it takes, God will bring you home. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here with hunger?" Notice what he said. "I'm dying here with hunger." And while he's been away from God and he's living in the pigsty of life, he wasn't even in his right mind. Have you ever considered the fact that sin is a form of insanity? Oh, now, preacher, where on earth would you come up with that? Well, look what Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9 and verse 3. He makes a very interesting observation here. He says, "This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that there is one fate for all men. Furthermore, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil and what? Insanity is in their hearts throughout their lives. Afterwards, they go to the dead." Think about that for a minute. What else except insanity would cause a person to choose sin over salvation? What else except insanity would cause a person to choose hell over heaven? What else except insanity would cause a person to choose judgment over Jesus? What else except insanity would cause a person to choose eternal death over eternal life? Now, you may think it foolish to call otherwise educated people insane, but I've got news for you this morning. Sometimes even people we think are insane show a lot more sanity than people who claim to be sane. I read about a man that was walking around in an insane asylum. He looked through the fence. He saw a man that was pushing a wheelbarrow, and he was pushing it upside down. And he said, "What on earth are you doing pushing that thing upside down?" And the inmate, patient, said, "I know you think I'm crazy, but if I turn this thing right side up, somebody's going to put something in it." Let me tell you, there's a lot of people out there today that are more sane about things than what we think. Notice in verse 18 and 19, the young man came to his senses and he said, "I will get up and I'll go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" Oh, you see this young man, he came to his senses. Let me tell you, this story Jesus is telling, it's a picture of the sinner coming back to the Father in repentance. Look in verse 20. "So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him." Notice this young man, young people, he didn't bathe, he didn't change clothes, he didn't shave, he came just as he was. We sing that song, "Come Just As You Are," because that's just exactly the way God wants us to come, and that's the only way that you can come. If this young man had said, "I'm not going to go to my dad until I get cleaned up. I'm not going to go back until I get on my feet financially. I'm not going to go back until I can give back to him what I took." You see, he would have died out there in the pigsty of life, but he came to his senses. And then I want you to see the incredible climax of the story in verse 20. "So he got up and he came to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him." I don't know about you this morning, but does that not warm your heart to think about when a sinner comes to their senses and the Holy Spirit is moving and convicting and bringing them back to the Father? I can only picture as this father is looking down the road every day for this son that had gone astray, this son that had left home, this son, he no doubt went out every day looking for him, because the Father's love never changed for the wayward, sinnered son. Aren't you grateful this morning that God's love never changes for you and for me? His unconditional love. Notice it says in verse 21, "And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Do you notice that in this, we're never given a picture that the father brings up the past? The father never tells the son, "Oh, but son, you wanted it all. Son, you wanted to live the loose life with wine, women, and song. Oh, son, let me just tell you all of the things that you did. Notice in verse 22 and 23, but the father said to the slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate. You see, this son, young people, he's given a robe. It represents forgiveness. He's given a ring that represents fortune. He's given sandals, which represent his favor. The fatted calf is killed, which represents fellowship. And out there in the far country, all he had experienced was misery. But he's back at the Father's house, and he's learned the meaning of mercy. Verse 20, when it says, his father saw, it speaks of eyes of forgiveness. Compassion speaks of forgiveness. He ran, speaks of forgiveness. He embraced him with his arms, the arms of forgiveness. It says he kissed him. That speaks of the lips of forgiveness. Let me tell you this morning, you may be the prodigal of this story, or you may have a child that is the prodigal of this story, or someone that you know is in this story this morning. Let me leave you with three life lessons for today. No matter how far away you've gone, you can always come back. No matter how far away you've strayed, drifted, you can always come back. Secondly, no matter how far out you've gone, you can always come in. I think about that softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling, come home, come home. Ye who are weary, come home. Thirdly, no matter how far down you've gone, you can come up. Let me tell you this morning, when you just remember that God is always waiting with open arms to receive you back to Him. Aren't you grateful that He's a loving God? That He's a God that has open arms, unconditional love. He doesn't bring up your past. The Bible says when He forgives us, He forgives our sins as far as the east is from the west. Joe Diffie was one of my favorite country singers. Joe Diffie used to sing in my choir when I was minister of music at the Emmanuel Baptist Church here in Duncan. Joe went to be with the Lord during the time of COVID. He contracted COVID and went to be with the Lord. But I want you to listen to this song that Joe Diffie sings this morning. It's a song that I love. Martha, if you'll go ahead and start that. It talks about home.
The only thing I see ahead is just the heat horizon off the road. Rainbows I've been chasing keep on fading before I find my pot of gold. And more I'm thinking that the only treasures that I'll ever know are long ago and far behind, wrapped up in my memories of home. Home was a swimming hole and a fishing pole and the feel of a muddy road between my toes. Home was a back porch swing where I would sit and Mom would sing Amazing Grace while she hung out the clothes. Home was an easy chair with my daddy there and the smell of Sunday supper. My footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home. Now the miles I put behind me ain't as hard as the miles I laid ahead. And it's way too late to listen to the words of wisdom that my daddy said. The straight and narrow path he showed me turned into a thousand winding roads. My footsteps carry me away, but in my mind I'm always going home.
if you could only imagine, as the prodigal son was coming down the road, going home. Don't you know the father embraced him with open arms? And that's what Jesus does. He has open arms ready to embrace the sinner when we come back home. Would you stand as we pray together this morning? Father God, as we have journeyed through this chapter in the book of Luke, a familiar story, yet, oh God, the applications, the life lessons are so applicable. Oh God, they're as relevant as next week's news. Father, if there's someone here this morning that needs to come back home to you, the Father, you have open arms extended. Maybe there's someone here that just needs to come and give their heart and life to Jesus, to recommit their heart and life to Jesus, whatever the need may be. Holy Spirit of the living God, this is your invitation. Speak accordingly, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.